medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with the valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to All Paws Pet Talk. My name is Annie Graham.
And my name is Brian Patrick Clark.
And we're going to go straight in, Brian, to our first guest, who is just a wonderful man, household name, Jack Hanna.
Yes, and I am delighted to share some Ohio roots with him. So I'm even
Well, don't bother,
yet.
All right? Because he's a busy man. He doesn't want to listen to your waffle. All
but right. I'm thrilled about having him have with this Ohio bloodline.
But listen, I found out something interesting. So without more ado, we're going to say good morning, Jack. How are you doing?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good. Listen, I found out something about you that I did not know. Well, I knew didn't know a lot of things about you, but this particular one was that in 1973, I believe it was, you were the director of the zoo here in Central Florida, in Sanford.
That's right. Yeah. Where are you all out of? Orlando?
Orlando, yes. And you know, they've done some great things with that zoo.
Yeah, I was there in 1973, four, and then left in 75 when they moved the zoo from the old little town of Sanford. There's only 1 acre there. It's like something you wouldn't even allow today, but, you know, the animals were healthy, and I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. I love Sanford, and then we moved out to the President's site today, and it's done very, very well.
Well, they've really expanded it in the last couple of years. I know now you are at Columbus Zoo, which is in Ohio, but you actually live in Montana, am I right?
Yes, I live in Dublin, Ohio since 1978, and have a home here, and I love Ohio. And then I do have a home in Montana where I work out in the summer times because I love hiking. I love Glacier National Park, so I spend a lot of time out there, you know, with the animals and nature, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful place. And of course, I spent about 261 days on the road.
Well, I just realized that, as I said, where you live, you probably live out of a suitcase would be more appropriate for that. So I know you've got a new show that's starting on Saturday mornings on ABC. So what is that about? Because you've had a lot of different shows over the time. I know this one's a little bit different.
Yeah, we've had our first show was Zoo Life back in 1988 to 1990. And then we had 1991, Jack Hanna's Animal Adventure started for almost Golly Day till 2000, probably in 6 or 7. So that was like 15 years. And then all over the world. And then Jack Hanna's Into the Wild started about 3 years ago. And that's my wife now. My daughter Kathleen helped me with the other one. Now, my wife now does this show, The Into the Wild. Now, this and that last one, Jack Hanna's Wild Countdown, started as a result of some guys wanting me to do another series. And I said, no, I'm not going to travel anymore. And they said, well, let's take the 20,000 or so tapes and discs we have over the last, 25, 30 years. And let's make the best of some of the footage that's never been seen. Some of you never remember, because I don't remember. It's really interesting to see kind of what I looked like 25 years ago, but that's kind of frightening. But more than that, it's showing you some things that we can't even get back in some of these countries. Like, for example, the top 10 bears in the world, top 10 cats in the world, my top 10 experiences with camouflage, my top 10 whales and dolphins in the world. So it's always a top 10, and you can imagine all this footage from all over the world taking the top 10. The show moves so fast. I mean, it's not a matter of moving fast. It's a matter of seeing so much in a half-hour show that it just blows my mind. I just never realized I did all these things until this series came out, and it started 2 weeks ago. It's on 9 o'clock around the country on ABC, obviously 9 o'clock Eastern. I think it's 6 or 7 o'clock Western, whatever. But it's turned out a lot better than I ever thought it would.
You know, you're kind of living a lot of people's dreams, and I'm sure when you first started out, you never thought it would get this big. What do you think has made you so popular and so endearing to people for so long? Because that's a long time in show business to be up there and still as popular, if not more so, than you were at the beginning.
Well, you know, it amazes me because, I, like you said, show business, I don't use that term. I don't even like the word star, celebrity. I don't like any of that stuff. I don't take limos. I don't use it ride first class planes. I do what my dad taught me. Don't ever forget where you came from. And I'm sorry to say that some people might be, quote, celebrities, that kind of thing. I think they forget where they came from. They forget how they got there. They forget that the viewer is that's your customer, you know. And, of course, they don't want to be bothered. And I can see that sometimes. There's no doubt about it. Sometimes I can't do all the autographs I'm supposed to do and stuff. But you still treat people nice. I think my success is attributed to the fact that I am who I was when I was 12, when I was 8, when I was 20, when I was 30, 40. TV doesn't affect me. Anybody will tell you that. I really don't, you know, I've met presidents, I've met every celebrity in the world, but that doesn't affect me at all. You know, I'm right now by myself driving, 2 hours to a meeting I'm going to be at the place called the Wilds. You know, I'm just an average person like everybody. I try and teach the animal world also in a very, understanding way that's a fun way. Yes, it's a serious business what we do in conservation, but I know one thing. You cannot have conservation unless you have education, and people have to be educated. In this country, most people, as you well know, as far as their education, might be 8th or 9th grade. And so, therefore, I try and teach people, entire families, on that level. And maybe that's the reason that it's been successful. I have no reason. I didn't ever dream about being on TV, you know. It's not something I ever sought. You know, here we have 7 national shows right now I'm doing, whether it be Good Morning America, 27 years, David Letterman, 26 years, Larry King, I did 24 years, do all the Fox stuff, Ellen, the talk on CBS, da-da-da-da-da. You know, I do it because there's a different audience on those shows. You don't get paid a lot of money to do those shows, by the way. Someone said, oh, my God, you must fly a jet. No, I don't have a jet. I couldn't even afford the wheel of a jet. But the thing is, what it does is the fact that it exposes people to many different audiences. Letterman's a whole different audience than Good Morning America. Good Morning America's different audience than, you see what I mean? And you have to know how to, maybe if I've done anything good, it's how to relate to those different audiences. So I guess I'm trying to answer your question in several ways.
Well, you know what? You're right, though, because I did a small survey before I came on the air with you, and there was a young lady with 2 children that just love your show, and they love it because you don't talk down to them, but you don't also make it in terminology they can't understand, that you come across as being very real, and you don't look anything like her, but you kind of remind me of Julia Childs. I love watching her shows because things didn't
always... And, Jack, I'm happy to concur. You do not look anything like her.
No, but you know what? Things go wrong sometimes, and I think that makes it much more real. And we all know that the best TV sometimes is when it doesn't go right, and I think that's something that you've got a very good knack of making it just look, hey, this is just perfectly normal. It's
well,
not
I don't want to use the analogy, and of course, RIP, but I believe, Jack, you have the same thing that Steve Irwin had on screen, and that is a capacity to keep it real in that cliched phrase and remember your roots, as you said.
Yeah, and Steve, you know, Steve did things differently. Steve was a friend, and I did this story on Terry and the kids and everything, and I actually filmed Steve before he was even on TV, and I knew this guy was unique. Now, what I love about Steve was that he was raised this way. What I don't like is a Steve Irwin wannabe. The guys, if you watch a lot of these stations, the Animal Planet, some of these stations today, Animal Planet was just like Planet Earth. And the first time I ever said this on the radio, I shouldn't even be saying it. But they were absolutely incredible. If you remember Planet Earth, Attenborough's show in England.
Yeah,
and that's what Animal Planet was at first. But today, what is it today? It's reality TV, people getting bit, blood flying all over the place, reenactment of a snake bites, people killing alligators. That's not on their channel, by the way. But the point is that Steve Irwin did this because that's the way he was raised. He didn't do that just to get his ratings and stuff. That was Steve Irwin. There's only one Steve Irwin, and there's not going to be another one. But there's a lot of
that's
these guys trying to be Steve
that.
Irwin, and they're teaching things to kids that they shouldn't be doing or watching. That's all. And that's what I try and avoid. That yes, do I have accidents sometimes? Of course I do. But I try and treat animals with respect, and I try and treat them in a way that if you have an animal, people say, what's the most dangerous thing I did? I tell them the word dangerous happens when I've gotten out of my comfort zone. If I cross into an animal's comfort zone, a wild animal, or that wild animal gets in my comfort zone, you get scared, and then all of a sudden you say, man, I've made a mistake. But Steve was different. Steve did that because that's who he was. See, these other guys ain't Steve Irwin, and nobody's ever going to be Steve Irwin because that's how an incredible human being the guy was. Plus, he was an incredible brand. I'm a brand, yes, but not like Steve Irwin. Steve Irwin was a very wealthy man, and he gave a lot of his money to conservation. I mean, thousands, hundreds of thousands of acres he bought for conservation.
I think you're the voice of conservation that most people know, and of course sometimes we end up having to defend that there even the existence of zoos. We could spend at least 10 hours on arguing about that. I am for zoos in the right done the right way, and that is the premise on that. Listen, Jack, you know, we need to speak a lot more. I know you're a very busy man and you got to dash off, so I'm going to let you go, unfortunately, but I do want to direct everybody to your website because it is a great one, jackhanna.com. That's pretty simple. We can get that down. And then, of course, we need to watch that new show that you've got coming out. But most of all, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to be with us at All Paws Pet Talk.
No, you can. I enjoy doing that. I love Orlando. I'll be down there at SeaWorld doing shows here sometime around after the first year, I think.
Well, we do share a mutual friend, actually, Mitch Kalmanson. So I know he actually knows your wife pretty well. So
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, sure do, yeah.
So anytime, just look us up. We'd love to have you on the show again. And thank you so much.
Well, sure, try and do it. Take care, y'all. Thanks for all you do for the animal world.
Thanks. You, Jack.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know what else is cool?
What?
If you go to his website. I mean, he's married to the same woman.
Oh, I know. Susie? Right?
Yeah.
How many people do that? Maybe that's because he's away 286 days a year.
261, but that's okay. Right. I remember numbers.
You see, Jackie and I know when you've been married for a while.
Yes.
What he doesn't realize, his wife probably packs the bags and says, thank God. Off he goes. No, all right, listen.
Well, again,
I know
in that celebrity
got a
universe where you turn around and every
gosh,
other
yes.
day somebody's marrying somebody else.
All right, listen, let's take a quick break.
Yeah.
And then we're going to come back and we're going to be having the rant and rave, and we're going to be also talking with Tom
Nowicki.
Thank you very much.
Yes, that's all right.
All righty then. Let's take the break.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet. All natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting. And very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's purrspraypet.com. Purrspraypet.com. Or call us now at 386-310-3924.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. I would like to introduce you to Lenstatin. If your pet has failing eyesight due to cataracts, then you need to check this out. Lenstatin, the world's only cataract protection developed by Dr. Scott Tunis, board-certified ophthalmologist and a nationally recognized expert in cataract surgery. Lenstatin, a human source supplement made right here in the USA that you can even use for yourself. For more information, go to Lenstatin.com. That's LENSTATIN, Lenstatin.com. If you tell them that All Paws sent you, you will receive 10% off their already low prices. So go to Lenstatin.com today. Your pet will thank you.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, and it's only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Hello and welcome to All Paws Pet Talk Revival. That's what that sounds like, is
it? I'm sorry, I'm trying to get together. People of the world, let's get together.
I tell you what, though, I may start this program in a sort of not so good mood, but I
know. Really?
Work my way
now,
out.
Now, there's a shocker.
And I wonder why.
I wonder why.
So, we talked in the first segment about people using Craigslist for the wrong kind of thing.
Yeah, that would put anybody in a foul mood.
But we did end with a good story of the animal who had
who
actually
refuses to die.
Refuses to die. Now, I don't know if they refuse to die or why they're on this program, but we have a mystery guest.
Well, hopefully it's not a refusal
and
to die.
I thought you were
going to
do what I would normally do.
Right.
I would say, well, who is it? Which would kind of be
okay,
a blunt
thing.
Okay,
well, let me do that. Would you say that again? We have a mystery guest.
We have a mystery guest.
Well, who is it?
I don't know.
Well, thank you very much. That would clarify the mystery.
Gosh, I'm sorry. I'm a bit slow sometimes. So here's what I thought we'd do. You know, there are a lot of people that make this program possible.
Many.
And we are just a very, very tiny, minuscule, insignificant segment of it.
Thank you for making me feel even smaller.
And
but
really,
you're right.
The person who pushes the buttons, or pushes my buttons from time to time, but not often, is indeed our engineer, Kevin.
He's our rock star.
So I thought
to use that Charlie Sheenism, but Kevin is our rock star.
Oh, is that what Charlie Sheen says?
Oh, yeah. He's been saying I'm a rock star.
I'm not sure what Kevin calls himself, but here's what I thought we'd do. Let's bring Kevin on, and he can introduce the mystery guests.
So, I love that. I love that idea. Kevin.
We have from Rhodesian Ridgeback, Diane. Diane, are you with us?
I'm here.
Hello. Thank you, Kevin. You see, Kevin did that so well. He doesn't need us. He could do a one-man show.
You know what, Kevin? Why don't you and Diane, continue with the interview?
Oh, my knowledge of Rhodesian Ridgebacks isn't anywhere close to your guys', so I'll let you handle this for now. Thank you, though. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Well, thank you, Kevin, for that wonderful introduction.
Yes.
And hello, Diane, and welcome to All Paws Pet Talk. I'm very familiar with Rhodesian Ridgebacks because I used to live in South Africa, where they're known as the lion dog, because their job was to protect the household from lions.
Oh, I thought they never told the truth.
And other very things that people thought of as a threat. So tell us all about what you do.
I do Rhodesian Ridgeback Rescue. We are a national organization rescuing Ridgebacks in need. And they are just such a great breed. They used to be very, very rare, but they have become more and more popular in the United States that there's actually become a problem with them being overbred and then sold to homes that aren't quite the right homes for them, and they wind up in rescue. So our organization goes and gets these dogs that need to be rehomed. We rehabilitate them, get them back on the right track, and get them into wonderful new homes.
I notice one of the differences that I've seen in the American Rhodesian Ridgebacks is their size. They're just a lot bigger than the ones that I am used to in England, although I believe it's a breed now that was actually excluded in England.
Well, that's because your country's smaller.
Thank you. have you noticed that? Do you know that? Or is that just something I'm imagining?
Yes. Okay. No, that's very true. Since I've been in Ridgebacks, which has been about 20 years, they have gotten bigger and bigger. They actually changed the standards on them so that it could include the larger dogs. They used to be where a male should weigh 85 pounds. That was the standard. Now you can easily see males in the 110, 115-pound range.
In fact, we saw one the other day at 126, and leaders to say it's a one-year-old dog that now had a severe cruciate injury.
I was going to say, this begins to sound like America's fixation with our waist expansion.
Yep. Everything must be bigger. They're supposed to be very agile dogs, because can you imagine a 120-pound dog having to chase a lion and hold it at bay? That might be a little bit tough for a 120-pound dog.
So, Diane, whereabouts is your group based?
We are all over the United States. We're covering every state, and actually Canada, Puerto Rico, some of the other areas. But right now we are in the Orlando area for the Florida part of Ridgeback Rescue. And Annie, you and I have another connection. I helped you get one of your dogs.
Uh-oh.
Now the wheels are spinning. I'm from Animal Services, Seminole County Animal Services also.
Oh, Diane, hello.
Hello, how have you been?
I'm doing good. You're talking about Jolie.
That's right.
Well, she wasn't Jolie then. She was Gucci.
I am shocked. Diane, I must say this because I know Annie's leanings politically. I'm shocked that she would name an animal after Angelina.
Oh, yeah, like I did. I named, and I should explain that Jolie is a full-blown pit bull.
Wow.
That was at Animal Services. She'd been at Animal Services for months and months, which is where Diane does such a great job. And that is one of the best animal control centers in the United States, I should say that. You do a fantastic job down there. But anyway, she came to the shelter at the age of 4 months and still hadn't been found a home for. And she was, I think, about a year when I got her, right?
Wow.
And she's done great. So you're into Rhodesian Ridgebacks. Well, now do you have any... Do you ever have any come into the shelter or not?
Absolutely. We actually got 4 puppies last year. It was amazing. Right before Christmas, we got 2, and then about 2 weeks later, we got another 2. And through the contacts that I have with Ridgeback Rescue, we were able to get them out and get them in homes that really knew what they were getting into. These dogs, Ridgebacks are sight hounds, so they may not get along well with cats. They're going to chase pretty much anything that runs. So you need to make sure that they go into a home that is going to be ready for something like that. They're not usually the best dogs to go off leash and running through the woods, because if they see a deer, they're going to take off after them. So,
right, but the ones I've had experiences with have always been, of course, one should always take precautions, but fantastic
right.
with children. Sometimes
very good with kids.
Just a little overprotective sometimes, because that was always their job, was
right.
for these. If you've been raised in South Africa in these places, you quite often had these large farms, and mm-hmm. you'd be going out there, and there are a lot of dangers out there from all mm-hmm. areas. So that was the dog's job. Listen, Diane, we're going to have to wind it up, but I tell you what I would like to do. Certainly give you an opportunity to put out your website address, but
okay.
have you on the show again so we can really get the inside scoop on what it's like to work at an animal county services department.
That would be great.
All right, sounds good. So shoot away with your website address.
Okay, our website is www.ridgebackrescue.org. Ridgeback Rescue is all one word, and you will just find us on the web, and you can find us in any state and come and get a Ridgeback.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Diane. Have a great day, and thanks for taking time out to speak to us on All Paws Pet Talk.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, sweetie. And really, we are very lucky in Seminole County here in Central Florida. What we need to do, Brian, mm-hmm. is I know they're trying to do arrangements where we can do these live shows, because apparently I've still got to do this gator wrestling thingy.
Yes, which I can't wait to see you do that.
Yeah, well, I'm doing it when the weather's warmer, I can tell you that.
Yeah, that a girl.
So we're getting the facility so that we can go out live into the public.
Cool.
And I thought it'd be great to do a show down there so people can maybe follow a dog. We've obviously got to get permission.
Yes.
Hey, everybody, you are listening to All Paws Pet Talk. If you don't mind, I'd like to take a brief few seconds to thank all our sponsors who make this show possible. And, of course, our wonderful engineer, Kevin, who you met a little earlier. And Jack, our producer, who always tries to keep me on my toes. And, of course, Brian, you're the best co-host anybody could have. You're the hostess, co-hostess with the co-mostess.
Well, you are the host of all hosts.
Right. So while we sit back for a few seconds, listen to these messages, and Brian and I will self-congratulate each other.
Yes. I'd like to thank.
We're right back.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health. NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Squeaky deaky, I love my squeaky toy. Squeaky deaky, it makes me jump for joy.
Hello. I'm jumping for joy over here.
You now wish you hadn't told me to shut up when I was busy doing. I'm ready, I'm willing, and able to rock and roll all night. You wish I had kept singing instead of squeaky deaky, don't you?
Thank you. I hope you're still listening to All Paws Pet Talk. We are here to inform you about all things related to pets, animals.
Or people who love them.
Or people who love
Let's
them.
Tie it all in.
Listen, before we go to our next guest, who is Dr. Mark Busan, who I wanted to talk to a little more about the glucosamine that we mentioned before,
yes,
because
yes.
we never kind of
And that was before you referred to him right before the break as Dr. Mute.
Yes.
I'm thinking that's the surprise guest.
No, believe me,
he won't speak.
He is not Dr. Mute.
No. Good.
I have to say there's something funny about this show. I think I've mentioned it before, that when we start talking about something, it happens in the next couple of weeks, right? Remember when we did the lumps and bumps
yes,
and about
course,
cancers, and of course we've done that.
Right.
We mentioned about ticks. There's now
right.
a warning out that they believe this is going to be an epidemic year
yes.
for ticks
yes.
as well as bedbugs. The good news is I have a very personal contact who may have the answer to half the problems. Very exciting new product, and it will be featured here first on All Paws Pet Talk.
Oh,
and it's amazing and uses no chemicals. Let's talk quickly
excellent.
About the chemicals because
cool.
I want to get to Mark as soon as we can.
Okay.
We had discussed about my cat April, how
right.
I was within hours of putting her to sleep. My husband, fortunately, being the wonderful veterinarian it is, spotted something that said, do this, blah, 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 blah.
Dr. Kent Greer.
I connected it with a product that we had put on the cat. And now, during the break, you and I were discussing, and I said, maybe I shouldn't say that. But actually, I should say this on the air because it goes to show I make mistakes, too, and I'm supposedly more knowledgeable than most. I had not remembered that my cat has lost so much weight. Now, she's a tiny, tiny little cat anyway. But as she's gotten older and she's had her various conditions, hypothyroidism and so on and so forth, she's lost a lot more weight. And I believe now I gave her the dose for the weight that she used to be, which
weight.
Was 10 pounds and over. And in fact, she was at 5 pounds. So maybe I did this.
Right. Basically, you probably like double
right.
dosed her or something
exactly.
on that order.
So please. It is important. You wonder why we ask you to weigh your pet every time you come in here. That's the reason. And
we're not talking just to the drug dealers out there.
No, we're not. So that aside, so I wanted to put that out there. Let us once more join Dr. Mark Busan, who is calling us today from Texas.
Well, Doc, it's great to have you back, but do you believe the way this English woman just pronounced the name of the state?
I know. And she even has relatives here, too. I don't know how they let her get away with it.
I know. He's used to, yeah, but they don't talk to me anymore, Mark. Listen, before we talk about your glucosamine and HBA Plus products, I had to say I got such a wonderful wonderful surprise
yeah.
when I opened up
yep.
the magazine Rally to Rescue, which mm-hmm. is a magazine for people dedicated to dog and cat rescue. And you have this 7-page spread in here, which I'm sure Playboy would be happy to have themselves.
Fortunately, no staples.
And,
no staples. You're good in that regard, Doc.
Featuring you, your lovely wife, and an expanse of animals, and a bunch of laundry. So we're going to look at that in a little bit. But kudos to you, because you started off something absolutely incredible called Linens for Animals in Plano, Texas, in 2006. And it has grown and grown, and you're just a wonderful person. So we'll cover the wonderful person side of you in a minute. Let's look at the other side of you, which, of course, you are a doctor, Dr. Mark Busan, and you are a chiropractor.
Right.
And you now, though, deal with just animals, which I don't blame you because I don't think I'd want to be a doctor of people either. So tell us quickly, for those people that missed the show the other day, what your products are and why, in particular, your glucosamine is different.
Well, we talked last time about pretty much what's out there mostly now that you see is glucosamine combined with chondroitin sulfate. And our talk last time was about how chondroitin is a larger molecule, 250 times larger, And we don't want that in our product. It's actually from shark harvest. The glucosamine molecule is from shrimp, lobster, and crab shells, and it's 98% absorbed because it's so much smaller. What we didn't get to talk about last time was the fact that there's other glucosamine products out there, and there are a lot of the companies are mixing and matching them all, and by doing so, you're getting a lot of effects of individual ones, but quite honestly, the only one you need is glucosamine sulfate because it breaks down and builds the cartilage better than any other.
Now, I noticed there's a huge promotional campaign using one of the most well-known, recognizable figures in the animal industry right now playing indefinite. I mean, it's like every time you turn the TV on, he is promoting a glucosamine product.
R.J. Wagner.
No, shush. So what we need to do if we want to look for that product, which is fine, but remember, don't go by just the fact that you recognize the face trying to sell it, have a look at the ingredients on the packet.
Right.
So what specifically should they be looking for on that packaging?
They specifically should be looking for a glucosamine sulfate product that stands alone by itself. You do not want chondroitin sulfate in it. You do not want MSM in it. And you do not want glucosamine HCL.
So hang on, Mark. Let me just put that out there nice and clear. If you're going to buy a glucosamine product, it needs to say glucosamine sulfate on its own. Nothing else. No chondroitin.
Right. You don't want any of the other cofactor ingredients of those type of, glucosamine issues, chondroitin and all those, because they're too large of a molecule. So it's harder to find nowadays to find a straight glucosamine sulfate product because there's been so much misinformation out there, and everybody's made the products based on that misinformation. And the other thing, just so people know, any glucosamine in their dog food is a waste of money because it binds the fat in the food and it does not get into the joints properly.
All right.
That's interesting.
Glucosamine should always be given on an empty stomach.
Now, Mark, I actually take your product on the human side, and gosh knows I'm terrible at looking after myself, but I thought after the last show I need to do that. Made a big difference. You're not paying me. I'm not endorsing your product officially.
And she looks great, Doc.
I look great. No, actually it was for the tennis. But let me ask you something. I wanted to put my sister on it, but then thank God she said this. She is actually allergic to shellfish. So is this a product? Is this something else people need to look at? Or is it kind of different? I mean, could she still take it? Or no, not really.
Yeah. She can still take it. People are allergic to the fish part of the shellfish. They're not allergic to the shells. As a matter of fact, my mom is the same way, and she's been on this thing since the 90s, early 90s, late 80s, whenever I developed it. So there's no problem with it because it is just the shell.
Awesome. All right, we've covered that product. Let's have a quick look at the HBA Plus product, which you also do in the human side. I also take that. It's very good, by the way, if you have a hangover. Not that I'd ever get a hangover, because, of course, this program is for children as well. So they wouldn't know what a hangover is.
Yeah. Though if they eat at the Olive Garden locally, they may end up with one, because you read about the one who was served sangria.
No, that was Applebee's.
No, Applebee's was a different one. I kid you
Why
not.
Why don't they ever serve me something like that?
Yes, this happened down here in Central Florida, Doctor, that a kid was served sangria this week.
Nothing wrong with don't say that, Al.
No,
you're going to get yourself into trouble.
No.
All right, tell us about HBA Plus.
Okay, well, now our glucosamine has all these other herbs and pain relievers that are anti-inflammatory that make it work faster than normal straight glucosamine sulfate. But if it does not, if you don't see your animal walking better within 3 to 5 days, usually they find that their liver is plugged up. Humans, by the time we're 40, and a human, because our metabolism is slower, we usually take about 1 to 3 weeks to see results from glucosamine sulfate. And if we don't, then we look at the liver being plugged. And that's where our HBA product comes in. It's made from an ingredient called alpha-beta hydroxybutyric acid, which was developed by the Japanese in the 60s. And they were using it for their cattle to defat those cattle. Back then, they were worried about steroids and things like that. And it worked so well that through the years, the governing bodies kind of squashed it because it was working too well. And in the 90s, it came back from the bodybuilders because it also stops the breakdown of muscle. So what it does is it's twofold, which is great for a lot of the animals that are getting older. It cleans their liver out because by the time they're 7, their liver is fairly saturated with fat, and it also stops the muscle breakdown. So a lot of the older German shepherds that you see, weak in their ears and things like that, is a pretty good, people kind of know what I'm talking about. It helps prevent that.
Now, Mark, should that be given with or without food?
That one does not matter. The HP can be given with or without. It does not matter. Like if you post mine, it should only be on an empty stomach.
And as said, Mark does also do those on the human side. And you can buy them these products through ourselves, obviously just for animals. Mark, quickly, we've got about 40 seconds. Can you give us your website, not for those products, but indeed for your linens?
Okay, it's www.linens, L-I-N-E-N-S, for, F-O-R, animal, plural, A-N-I-M-A-L-S.org. So it's linensforanimals.org. And we're trying to spread throughout the country. We've actually got into 19 states now that literally can come here, that have been coming to Plano, and we're trying to get it to other states so that they can do what we're doing. And that's what part of the big Rally to Rescue thing was. And we've donated over 2 million pounds of linens in the last 5 or 6 years to about 2,000 rescue groups and shelters.
Awesome. Mark, I'm going to have to leave it there and say cheerio, but I want you back specifically to be talking about that again and how people can bring it into their own state. Thank you. Have a wonderful day in Texas.
Thank you. You too, and I'll have my wife do that.
Okay, very good. All right, bye. Wonderful. Wonderful guy. He's just so knowledgeable. He does all these wonderful things. Okay, you are listening to the adult version of All Paws Pet Talk, and we will be right back.
Is your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo look it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426. Or on the web, www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
Do you have a dog?
Yes, ma'am.
What kind of dog?
Bad dog.
Where he's from?
Just a quick reminder, you are listening to All Paws Pet Talk, and my name is Annie Greer.
And my name is Brian Patrick Clark.
And we have one of the doctors that always helps us out with some of these more technical issues, and it's a big button right now because there's been such an increase in the amount of pets that are now suffering from diabetes, something that was relatively rare before, that I thought we should get Dr. Craig Tochman on the line again, and he's been very kind because he got up very early to join us today because I believe he's in on the West Coast in probably San Francisco. That's
like the ultimate leftist of the left part of our country. And bear in mind, I'm a Californian of 28 years, so you know.
That's true. So good morning, Dr. Tochman. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you guys doing?
Morning, Doc. Doing great.
Good.
So, listen, I saw there was a report out in the latest Veterinary Economics magazine, which, to those of people who don't know, that is the kind of trade magazine of veterinarians and animal hospitals, if you will, with a great concern over the rapid rise of diabetes in both dogs and cats. I have to say, in our practice, we would be more likely by about 3 to 1 to see cats suffering from diabetes than dogs. Is that the same in the area that you practice, Dr. Tochman?
Yeah, cats are far more likely to get diabetes than dogs.
Okay, so first of all, if we can do a very brief overview to try and explain to people actually what diabetes is.
So diabetes is essentially an inability of the body to use insulin, which is produced by the pancreas and is responsible for allowing sugar to get into the cells for energy. And so when we are either unable to use insulin or we don't produce insulin, we can't use the sugar. The sugar builds up in our blood. We see it spill into the urine, which causes excessive urination, and we call that diabetes. Diabetes mellitus is the technical term for it.
Now, what are the first symptoms that people are going to see where they notice, hey, that maybe there's something up here?
Usually it's excessive thirst. The dog or cat is urinating more frequently because of all the sugar in the urine. And in order to keep up for all that extra water loss from urinating so much, they start drinking a lot more water. And that's usually the first sign. They also tend to be very hungry because, of course, they're not getting sugar into their cells, so their cells are starving. And so they're eating lots of food, and yet they start losing weight because they can't use the energy from the food. So lots of drinking first, then lots of eating with a little bit of weight loss is usually what we'll see first.
Now, is this a kind of gradual onset, or is it something that one day you just wake up and you think, oh, wait a minute, that's a little odd?
You know, that's an interesting question because in reality, it's probably a gradual onset kind of thing. But because it comes across to the owner as something that's all of a sudden because it's they're not noticing it. So all of a sudden you realize one day that you filled the water bowl three times. But it's likely been going on for quite some time. And really, Annie, that's part of what everybody's very concerned about in the veterinary community is that not only are we seeing an increase, but we're seeing an increase in really severe cases. They're coming in incredibly sick, and it's called ketoacidosis. Because once your body starts really running out of sugar, it starts breaking down fat. That's why they're losing weight. And this is similar to the Atkins diet that people used to do. When you stop eating carbohydrates and stop eating sugar, your body starts breaking down the fat, but the waste product from that is ketones, and that creates an acid environment in your body, essentially, and that makes you really sick. And so these cats are coming in really, really sick, not just with plain old diabetes, but with really advanced cases of diabetes because it takes so long to recognize the problem. And as you know, because people aren't coming to the veterinarian as often as they used to. And so we're not catching these diseases early with our blood testing and our exams on a regular basis.
Now, I know obviously when someone walks through the door and they say, well, and let's look at cats right now, you know, my cat's been drinking a lot and losing weight. We're not going to say, oh, he's got diabetes. Because, of course, you and I talked a few weeks ago about kidney disease, and really the symptoms can be very similar, particularly in an older cat. So what is likely to happen when you visit your veterinarian?
And you're exactly right, and not only kidney disease, but thyroid disease. There's all kinds of diseases that cause very similar symptoms in your pet. So we're gonna do our physical examination and get a good look there. But first thing we're gonna do is a blood panel and a urinalysis. And the blood panel is actually easier to get because we can get blood out of everybody. Getting urine is sometimes a challenge, but we'll try and get both, and we'll look at both of the results from both of those tests, and really have probably about a 95% confidence in our diagnosis from those two tests right away to separate kidney disease from diabetes. The hard part, Annie, is that a lot of these cats, especially when they're older, have both, and that makes it even a little bit more complicated.
Now, I know sometimes when we perhaps have a newer doctor, a newer graduate come in, you get some blood work on a cat that you're not necessarily suspecting diabetes, and the glucose level is very high, but that's where my husband, being a little older, may come in and say, no, I'm not very excited about that. And they'll be like, well, why? It looks like he's got diabetes. And he said, well, possibly, but we'd have to test further. Now, why is that in cats?
You know, you see the picture of the cat with the hair standing up and the big eyes and the claws out, and that's called stress. And cats get stressed. You know, cats don't like leaving the couch, you know, let alone going to the veterinarian necessarily. And so they get stressed. And when they get sick at home, they get stressed. And when the kids throw the balls at them, they get stressed. So part of the stress response is to release a lot of sugar. And so we'll frequently see, you know, if the normal range on a cat's blood sugar is, say, up to 150, we'll commonly see 180, 210, 220. And I'm the same as your husband, although I'm younger, it's pretty, we don't get too concerned about that because it is usually stress. That's why you want the urine, because if the sugar's high enough, we'll see that show up in the urine. If it's just from stress, that's usually not the case. But I agree.
And I know a lot of people kind of think, okay, let's say the diagnosis has been made, which, by the way, may take some time because we do things called glucose curves, which just means repeating the blood work over a series of hours to make sure we can really get a good point of where are we exactly. But I know a lot of people think, okay, well, it's got diabetes. And they tend to think of humans and you'll change the diet. And that's true. We will change that diet, perhaps. And, oh, am I going to give insulin? And that is where I think people perhaps don't understand this is going to be a lifelong commitment.
Right.
So, first of all, let's look at the diet. Let's say we've got an animal that is just borderline. We may not want to go hammering in with the insulin because that really, as you know, but maybe the pet owners don't know, can be very difficult to regulate at times, is an ongoing, like I said, a lifetime commitment. So if we have a cat here that's not, or dog, you know, it's kind of borderline, we might just change the diet. Now, I think sometimes people are surprised by our recommendations on the diet. So tell us what you would do, Dr. Topman.
Well, we will recommend a diet that's pretty much specifically made for the diabetic pet. It's usually a very high fiber diet, similar to a weight loss diet. And these are, and then there's other diets that are, there's newer diets that aren't necessarily high fiber, but they're designed specifically for the diabetic. They're all designed to reduce how much sugar is absorbed from the food. And that's the first thing we're going to try and do is reduce the sugar intake and try and change the metabolism of the pet a little bit and try and see if we can control it that way. And that does work, like you said, in a smaller proportion of the pets. They're not severe yet, they're borderline. In humans, there's really two types of diabetes. There's the diet responsive that never need insulin, and then there's the insulin dependent where they're either not making insulin or the cells can't use it anymore. The majority of our pets have that second type where we eventually have to give insulin. But we always try diet first, and we always keep them on the diet while we're trying the insulin therapy to try and reduce the amount of insulin that we have to give.
And we've got about a minute left. I'm going to bring you back another week to finish up how we actually treat. But I think you would also agree, maybe the message out there is understand you're in for some long-term testing. You're going to be seeing a lot of us.
You're going to be sick of us. And I'll just say it. You know my theme, which is the earlier we catch it, the easier it is to get it under control, as with any disease. So, you know, and especially I understand I've got four cats at home and they don't like to get in the car necessarily, but it's vital that folks take their cats in every year, get them checked, get those blood tests done, and get it done early so that we catch these things in the early stages. It pays off for everybody, especially your pet in the long run.
Okay, well, we're certainly not sick of you, Dr. Topman. So thank you so much for joining us. I hope you'll join us again in a couple of weeks to do the follow-up on this particular segment.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Is your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo look it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426 or on the web www.healthygoo.com. Goo, spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. I would like to introduce you to Lenstatin. If your pet has failing eyesight due to cataracts, then you need to check this out. Lenstatin, the world's only cataract protection developed by Dr. Scott Tunis, board-certified ophthalmologist and a nationally recognized expert in cataract surgery. Lenstatin, a human source supplement made right here in the USA that you can even use for yourself. For more information, go to Lenstatin.com. That's LENSTATIN, Lenstatin.com. If you tell them that All Paws sent you, you will receive 10% off their already low prices. So go to Lenstatin.com today. Your pet will thank you.
Hello, welcome back. I'm sorry I'm laughing because I wanted to say, and I'm going to try and say it again, but you put a thought in my head and I'm going to, it's going to come out wrong.
Top
tips on training.
You've got to stop saying that on air, Annie.
That's not what you said during the break. So we are thrilled, are we not?
Oh, I am.
To be speaking with Martin Dealey, we sound like we're being sarcastic, but we don't.
No, we're not. No, in that regard, we are thrilled. But I'm also thrilled about those top tips.
Okay, good. Because as you know, Martin is a very, very world-renowned dog trainer.
And he's also a very engaging personality,
he
which
is
an unusual combination.
And for me, he is from England.
Give up,
so
you two. Good grief.
How big is that head now, Martin? Will you fit through the door when next you visit?
So, that's listen, right. Martin, listen, you two just shut up. It's my show, all right? It's the Annie G Pet Show. That means I'm running it, okay?
We rule the world.
Let's get serious because I know that a lot of people have problems training their dogs. Now, what I'm about to say, I said on my very first TV show, and it was live, and it was one of the worst things I should have ever said, because as it came out of my mouth, I thought, oh, no, I should never have said that.
Right.
And what I actually said was, you need to find out what turns your dog on. I will not say that this time to Martin.
Well, some of us already know what turns our dogs on, so we don't need to find out. It makes it so much easier.
I know that Martin's going to get me out of a hole on that one. What exactly did I mean with that statement, Martin? And this is rated, you know. Family.
I think it's like it is with people, though, to some extent. You know, there are certain things that we enjoy doing. And there's no doubt about it that, I mean, I used to have a little terrier when I first started with dogs. I was 11 years old. And he used to love to actually play kill, if you like, if it was a ragger or something like that. Or in those days, we didn't have all the posh toys that we have today. But he loved to shake things and really kill it, you know. And then you get others like, I'm in with retrievers, and people say, oh, he's always picking something up. Well, that's what retrievers do, you know. They like to carry things. And I've got a little dog right next to me here, and she's just got a big fluffy toy in her mouth, and she's asleep. They like to do certain things. So when you're working with a dog and when you want to create a relationship with a dog, it's rather nice to find out what turns that dog on, as you say. And I've got a dog in for training at the moment, and I'm not quite sure what he is, but the way he walks and the way he looks, it looks like a greyhound. And so, to be honest, I've got him chasing things. He doesn't want to pick them up, but he loves to chase. So
they like chasing cats.
Or I put him into a down and throw something, off he goes. He loves it.
Maybe your neighbor can give you a cat or two, because I know they like to do that.
No, I got to tell you, I'm just thrilled that Martin gave us the answer he did, because I had this dread fear of hearing about dogs' erogenous zones or something.
No. You can sit over there and think about that all you want, because it's not happening. So, Martin, let's look at
that. That's the other program we run.
That's the other show. That's the After Midnight show. Martin, let's look at a couple of scenarios. The first being someone has a small, fluffy puppy, a Maltese, a Shih Tzu, and they want to find out, well, what is it that actually turns this dog on? So how do you find out? What do you do?
I spend time with him. You know, when I've got a little puppy, one of the things that they will always like to do is to carry something of yours, or they're interested by something of yours. You know, usually it's something that's distasteful, like good old worn socks, or even worse. But many times when I've got puppies of that nature, I'll roll up an old sock that I've got, one that I've worn the day before, and I'll knot it up, and I'll see whether they're interested in it. You put things in. If you think about it, though, if you put too many toys in there, they're not really interested. They see it all the time. But if you've got something which really they enjoy smelling, or they enjoy tasting, or they enjoy putting in their mouth, or they enjoy chasing in some way, and then take it away, and that becomes, if you like, the highlight. It becomes a relationship-building thing with you, because you're actually doing something with them. You're getting them to work. So when you've got these little dogs, like when I get a puppy, or even if I breed some litter of puppies myself, when they're very, very young, I'm just sitting on the floor with them, I'm watching them, and I'm playing with them, and I'm doing things with them with different kinds of toys and items, if you like to think about it that way.
Now, do you believe in using treats for training motivation?
It does help, but what you've got to do is to phase it out. I mean, I have no problem at all with using a little treats. You've got to be careful you don't overfeed them and give them diarrhea or something like that. But there's nothing wrong with using, and I mean very small treats. Some of the treats you buy from the shops are huge for puppies. And then owners are saying, he doesn't eat his dinner. And I say, do you give him any treats? And they say, yes, I give him only about three or four, though. And I say, show me. And they bring out these kind of bony things, which are about twice the size of the dog, you know. So really what I'm saying with treats is make them small. And to get them to sit or to come up to you and things like that is nice. But you've got to be in charge. You've got to be actually showing the little dog nicely what to do. And even when you're using food, you've got to know exactly how to give them the food and how to allow them to take it from you. So
now,
I don't mind
about the scenario.
All, but I phase them out, you know. I phase them out, and I find myself, when I get dogs here in training, if I can get them to retrieve and to enjoy a tennis ball or something of that nature, they're not bothered about the food. They want to actually work. They love the work.
Right, same with mine. So now what if you've adopted an older dog, you know, maybe as much as 8 years old, that doesn't look like it's done much? How are you going to go about that particular scenario? I was thinking of Brian. I'm wondering whether Brian is too late to train now or not.
Yeah, way too late. And Brian, I don't look like I've done much. I have to agree.
Yeah, well, Brian's definitely past it.
But
you know, it's quite interesting. You always start with just the little moves towards what you want. Sometimes I've got dogs, and I'll tease them with something. It might be a soft toy. It might be rolled-up socks. It might be something like that. And I'll throw it. And often they'll want to go and kind of run out to it and see what it's about, but they might not pick it up. But the moment they run out to it and they touch it with their nose, if you say, good, and then they come back to you and play them, and very quickly you tend to find that those little things build up until all of a sudden you've got a dog that's not just running out, but actually, you know, we get very upset because they pick it up, they come back halfway, and they drop it. Well, as far as I'm concerned, they've picked it up and they've succeeded in bringing it back halfway, not failed in bringing it back the other halfway. So I say, good to that. I call them up to me. The important thing is to come back to me, and then we'll play again. And I stop before they get bored. With some dogs, it might be two or three little games. With some, it might be only one before they kind of get bored with it. But you build it up, and it becomes, if you like, the highlight. And there's a lot of little things that you can do. There's so many toys out there nowadays with raggers and tuggers and squeakies. And I'm not a big squeaky lover, but sometimes squeakies will get them going because they like the idea of the noise, you know.
Right. And, you know, I wanted to tell you something, Martin, because I've been emailing to you about another project that I hope we can work on. And this was fascinating to me because we had a family of foxes that built a den on our property, had five kits, I believe that's the correct terminology for fox cubs, and raised them. And I went down to the den and I found tennis balls, the dog's soft toys. And those foxes, the adult foxes, had come up to the house, gone in the garage, stolen the dog's toys and taken them down to the den. So there is that spirit of play even in a wild animal. There's no other purpose for them taking them down there.
Well, first of all, it smells of you or smells of something which is interesting. But if you think about it with every dog, if we're going to get feeding them this nice kibble or raw food or anything like that, what a dog has to do, he has to find game. He has to actually put that game out where he can catch it. He has to chase it. He has to catch it. He has to kill it. When he kills it, it might eat a little bit of it, but many times it's to take it back to the family. What's this fox doing with a tennis ball? Similar kind of thing. But I'm doing the things with that with the Labradors or with the Retrievers or with the Terriers or with any dog that comes in. I've got a great little dog. I have the foggiest idea of what he is. And he just loves retrieving. He enjoys every bit of it. But you're putting their natural instincts together into the form of a game and then controlling it.
And Annie forgot to tell you that she now has a family of foxes living there, growing fur that is not dissimilar in tone to neon yellow felt.
No, not at all. Listen, Martin, as always, it's been a pleasure to speak to you. I do hope we can do a segment very regularly, because I think we're on the same page on training issues. And I know you're the best.
We always were, darling.
So, listen, thank you, and have a great rest of the week. And we'll look forward to maybe
speaking
to you next week, all right?
I look forward to it. Next week I'm running a workshop, so make it the week after.
All right, week after. All right, thanks, love.
I've got trainers coming here to train with me and learn some gems.
There you go. See, he's a busy man. All right, Martin, we'll speak to you then.
Be well, Martin.
You have been listening.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling.
From All Paws Pet Talk, cheerio.